हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay, page 17. Seeing that the girls of Braja had arrived, Lord Krishna, the best of speakers, greeted them with charming words that bewildered their minds. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Playful words are of two kinds, skillful presentation of words, shabdika, and changing the meaning of the senses, artika. Use of words refers to moving his eyebrows, eyes and face while smiling and speaking joyful words easy to understand, with graceful placement of syllables. Play on meaning refers to verses which are used as ornaments to intensify the emotions of rasa. They are of four types: statements suggesting indifference, words expressing a request for enjoying with the gopis, statements with apparently both meanings, and statements expressing the truth, taken literally. By this, the gopis became bewildered, vimohita. They became most attracted to him and lost their ability to judge. They became most attracted to him on accepting shabdika meanings, with statements of request for enjoying and truthful statements. Later, they became devoid of ability to judge by understanding the statements as indifference or with double meaning. So he used all these different things. You'd go one way, then he'd take it another, and all these different things he was doing. Shabdika words particularly express real emotions. Among the artika expressions, those which show feigned indifference are meant to increase the gopi's longing for him, and are not real indifference. For it has already been said that in the autumn Krishna desired to enjoy and that he played on his flute to attract the gopis, verses 1 and 3. It is only playing with words and not the actual meaning. The mind thinks one thing and the words express another thing. This creates despair in the strong desire for him. By that, their discrimination becomes lost. Among the artika statements, his request produced desire in himself. Right, so then, it also is increasing his interest. Like that. It's bewildering their minds, but it's increasing his interest. So he just keeps going back and forth. Verses 18 to 27. Krishna teases the young gopis. Lord Krishna said, "O most fortunate ladies, welcome. What may I do to please you? Is everything well in Braja? Please tell me the reason for your coming here." Right, so he's speaking kind of in a funny way. You know, just it increases the interest and increases all these different things in him. So that's the funny part that he does. And at the same time, it also increases his own desire. Right, because that's part of the process that's going on. But that's depending upon how they're responding and how. So it all goes together. But you can see as he speaks very nicely. So it goes back and forth between saying what he's actually meaning and going and into saying things that are, the meanings are changed or put into a different poetic thing. Yes.
So this kind of presentation, actually, it's very difficult to understand because it's a mixture of everything.
Yes, it's a mixture, especially, he says, because it's using, what is it, he said, four types of the play on words, right? Refers to verses which are used as ornaments to intensify the emotions of rasa. But which way it's intensifying? You know, in other words, it's intensifying rasa, but it's not that what he's presenting is necessarily the form is what they're looking for. So sometimes he speaks directly and truthfully, and other times then he speaks to increase that rasa, but the words being used are not necessarily saying that. So then that's when they become bewildered. Like that.
Huh?
Yes.
Can we say that he takes the feminine approach, being elusive and contrary?
No, he's talking to ladies, so you have to work in it. In an area that, you know, it means you can't be too direct, right? You know, it has to be, I say, compatible. Right? Yeah.
He's also using cheddar, because he's also using cheddar.
But that's the point, is Artika means is when you do play on meaning. So there may be varieties of what is being used. They just said four types, like that. Yeah, statements with apparently both meanings. Right, so that would be your trauma. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. First, he speaks politely, showing external indifference. Right, so that's that poetic aspect. Your coming is very auspicious. Or, have you come comfortably here? Oh, fortunate women with husbands, Mahabhaga, right? So he brings that aspect out. What could I do to please you? It is not possible for me. To do anything. Or what can I do for you? Please order me. By treating you, married women, nicely, I gain special merits in dharma. Right. So he's playing with all these different aspects. Previously, he said the same thing to the brahmana's wife with reverence. Swagatam vo maha bhagas syatam karavam kim. Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:23-25. Because the nature of the relationship, then they go on in the nice formal different aspects. But with the gopis, then it's not on that kind of that flavor. Therefore, then it's because these others they're approaching in the to be involved with him, but he's not going to get involved because of their identification as Brahmins and other things like that, you know. So therefore, then because they're thinking in the terms of marriage and things like that, but these gopis are not, right? So then there'll be a slight difference in how it's taken. But then he showed indifference, stating, I can do nothing. Now, however, by using the words priyam kim, he indicates his own longing. Right? So that's where the mix is. He's saying one thing, but then at the same time the presentation is another. On seeing them come, however, he was actually most pleased and thus welcomed them. He called them most fortunate because they came there with depending only on him alone, giving up everything else. So that's the thing. So, but he presents it as the most fortunate because they're nice married ladies and this and that. The phrase Mahabhagav indicates he recognizes the greatness of their prema on thinking of their sentiments, since he is dependent on his dear devotees. Bhaga means worshippers in this context. By saying Priyam, he indicates that he was controlled by their prema, because as worshippers, they're Mahabhagas. They're the greatest of worshippers. Does this mean they do less farming? Because they take the farm pumps for pumping water to farm, and now they put it in, put wheels on it and drive things around. Oh, okay. I was thinking, where did they get all these motors from? Because they're not farming anymore. By saying Priyam, he indicates he was controlled by their prema. This was natural. Though he was skillful at bringing his devotees under his control, since he was the crest jewel since he was the crest jewel of cleverness. In this way, the real meaning of his words can also be understood in later verses he speaks. Because you see, he'll do this, and at one point he'll speak very directly, then he'll go again back into this. In this verse, Krishna then uses joking words, using polite words in the beginning of his speech. He showed his qualification to speak to an assembly of people, right? Because his opening is then how you would address an assembly. Seeing that they had all gathered at one time with devotion, he then inquired deceptively, as if being fearful and respectful, "Is everything well in Vraja?" To which they would have replied, "O lion of cleverness, if there were some problem, the cowherds would have come here." Looking for him, right? He then speaks arrogantly with false anxiety. "There must be some problem concerning women for some of the cowherds. Please tell me the cause or goal in your coming here." Then he just reverses it around. Because, you know, then they, because remember before, he said he was going to make them speak directly. Right? Because that's the whole thing, is ladies generally don't speak directly. So then here, by him speaking indirectly, he gets them to speak directly. But, how you say? It's like the thing, like that warning that they put, "Do not try this at home." Yeah, you know, that he's the crest jewel of cleverness. So he, by taking that things, and he's being clever and all that, he gets the gopis to speak directly. Seeing them standing there without answering, out of shyness, unable to understand his intentions due to the double meaning, indicating that they did not speak because of some inauspicious lamentation that should not be heard. To change the topic, he asked, if puzzled, "Is everything well in Vraja?" But it should be understood that all the worry is just a deceptive show. Seeing the gopis not speaking and smiling, acting as if he were pacifying them, he says shyly, "Please say the reason for your coming, since I cannot understand it." It was already explained that each of his words is filled with indifference and prayer. The indifferent aspect of the words was explained. The prayerful aspect will now be described. It will also be described in subsequent verses. Right, because it has a double meaning. One is the indifference, then there's the prayer. That's the problem, is that the same statement, it can mean both.
Well, what's indifferent in here?
How are things going? Why have you come here?
Why is this indifferent?
Because it's not, he's not directly addressing the reason they've come and he is calling them there. So he's just taking that neutral place. See, in the Vedic indifference, it doesn't mean that you're against something. That's the modern. Indifference just means it's general, it's generic. You know, it's just like when it mentions about the sannyasi, indifference means whether it's good or not good, it doesn't matter. The modern context, indifference means I don't like it. It's a negative. But the Vedic, it just means it's neutral. So by taking a neutral stance, they expect him, he's called, he'll come there, he'll be responding very nicely that they've come. "Oh, so nice you come, I was waiting for you." Then that's direct. But he says, "Oh, you've come, so nice, so, you know, why have you come? You know, is everything fine in Vraja, is this and that, and, you know." And they're thinking, you know, if it wasn't nice, the coward men would be here anyway. So they're not here, so that means everything's fine, why are you asking? Right, you know, like that. Okay. Oh. Yeah. So it's either the horn's worse, the motor's better, or the motor's worse, and, you know, the horn's not so bad, or it doesn't. You don't need a horn. It makes so much noise. Right? "Oh, most fortunate women, you are fortunate because of the moonlight, the forest, your beauty, and favorable followers." In the form of questions, he step by step makes his request. "Have you come here with ease?" He makes his request. "What actions can I perform to please you? I request to do what is most dear to your hearts." When they did not reply, he again requested gradually by saying, "Is everything well in Vraja?" He again requests, "Please tell me why you have come. Do not be shy."
Mm-hmm. Who are the favorable followers of the gopis?
Sorry?
The favorable followers of Krishna is saying the second one.
Favorable followers? They don't have any favorable followers?
Right. We all are friends, right? All the gopis, in that sense. So, followers.
Yes, but still, there's leaders. There's leaders. Means if there's a group leader, you don't want to acknowledge the concept of group leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sri Krishna continued, "This night is quite frightening, and frightening creatures are lurking about. Return to Braja, slender-waisted girls. This is not a proper place for women." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Footnote. Okay, 7. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 19 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So then Krishna, appreciating the flavor, the mood of the gopis, there's that all these different things, and he's tasting this and all this. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gopis are thinking, "This Krishna, who daily enjoys us, destroying our family reputation, our religious principles, our sense control and shyness, today has called us with his flute, and now asks the reason for our coming." Glancing at each other, they chattered in this way. Krishna responded by saying, "Are you implying, while throwing glances at these creepers, we came to pick the night jasmine flowers suitable for Deva Puja?" Right, because they're looking around, because they'll be like that. So, you know, they're looking, so are you looking at the creepers and thinking this? Are you looking at that? And, you know, like that. Because it also is that they look around and kind of, you know, because they're getting annoyed, so then they don't do that. "Listen, that is improper, according to the calculation of time, place, and person. Though the moon is shining brightly, it is still night and very fearful." Right, because you're not supposed to pick flowers at night, because that's when they're sleeping. Like that. So that's why, according to the calculation. You know, so it's bright, so you can see, but it's still nighttime, so you shouldn't be picking them. "And then, again, and very fearful, because it's hard to see the snakes and scorpions hiding in the creepers, roots and leaves. This is the wrong time to pick flowers." So one is the trees are asleep, and two, you can't see things properly, so then you could get in trouble. "Therefore, you should return to Braja. Fierce animals like tigers are roaming about everywhere. Because it is nighttime, even Vrindavan is not a suitable place. Therefore, you should return to Braja."
This verse, this is the same, is among all those verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this one to Prayojana. What about the previous ones? Always have trouble with him picking the verses.
Is it number or? Because he doesn't say anything specifically about them there, but here he mentions those slender-waisted girls. Because you see, the acharyas are bringing out what's in this verse. See, because it's all double meanings and everything like that, that's why then.
So, for example, if we take the 17, page 17 also.
Mm-hmm.
See, why is this not Prayojan?
Because it's just saying that he did that. Here is what he's actually doing. So it's expressing all those different, all the affection. So that's why you have the acharya's purport, because this is what's going on in that verse. Like, you know. So that's the thing, is they see things we don't see. Yeah, see, that's why as a general rule, we don't try to put together our own concept of what verses go where. That's why it's... It means this, let's say, generally most other Shastric study programs and that, they very easily have a list of verses. Right? Because they just go and pick some verses. But the difficulty is because the acharyas give these verses, and they give them as particular meanings and all that, then we want to put it together according to that. Because if we try to choose what verses go where,
it would
be totally different. Because we don't necessarily appreciate what's all is in that verse. You know, due to just, you know, lack of realization, not understanding the Sanskrit, not understanding all the things, not understanding the concepts that are behind that. Because we may know Sanskrit, but we don't know what Sanskrit they know. You know, it's just like, let's say, kids are speaking. Like I mentioned this story before. You know, it's that I'm sitting, you know, I've been, parents and their friends, they'd get together, they'd hang out, they'd do things, go places, and I'd be along with them. They'd be talking constantly. I never talked because I was the only kid, right? So I just listened. But everything they said seemed to be just normal stuff until I hit 12. Then I understood who they were talking about. So in other words, all the double meanings and all these hidden inferences, I caught what they were saying. Right? So it had a totally different meaning than I would have attributed it, you know, before that. So that's the difficulty. So since the verse books that the Acharyas do give, you know, are, I think it's around, I can't remember if it's 1,500 or 3,000 verses, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada's ones is actually around 1,500, but they only give us, devotees only put together books of about 750, because those are the ones he mentions more than once. So 750 mentions twice or more, and others he just mentions once. And so then that becomes a problem because people want 30 verses or, you know, 50 verses. So that becomes a problem. So this is the reason why. You know, plus then, I mean, for the kids, yes, we work out some things, but for adults, because we tend to, how you say, when it comes to memory, then we're a bit thick. Like that, but. Okay. The gopis may object. Then, if that is the case, after resting a while, we will go. To which Krishna would implore, by no means should women stay here. Both place and time are unfavorable, and also, as persons, you are unsuitable. You are very beautiful women, and I am a handsome young boy. Though you are supremely chaste, and I am a brahmachari, according to Gopal Tapani Upanishad, though there is no fault in being together, as I am a brahmachari, still we should not trust our minds. Right? You know, because that was, what was it? That one is, Krishna is a perfect brahmachari. And what was it? Durvasa only lives by eating the juice of durva grass after he's eaten this huge feast. And then, you know, so that's the whole point, is these things are correct. You know, Krishna is the perfect brahmachari. Right? Because the senses are perfectly controlled. He only engages them in devotional activities. Right? To his devotees, so it works. So we can see here is that he's saying all kinds of things. There's another hidden meaning to this verse. In other words, these are hidden meanings, and then he's saying there's more. So if we didn't catch the last ones were hidden, then, you know, it's like, what's it? You know, Prabhupada said, somebody asked him, what do you think of Ramakrishna? He says, I don't think. And what about Vivekananda? He's another rascal. So, same way, he makes this point, and then he says, there is another hidden meaning. But, you know, it's okay. So here we say, is you shouldn't stay here, it's unfavorable, unsuitable. And then he's saying, you're very beautiful women. So these are the things that go back and forth. Sometimes he's speaking directly, and then other times then he's speaking not directly. So he'll speak all these things, and now and again put in something that's direct. So then you just have to put that together. Right? Does that make sense?
Then this results in the increase of the rasa, because it's back and forth going on. It increases the rasa because he's completely shifting, you know, from being indifferent, and then he's being playful, like he's.
Yes, both of that means this, but he's doing it to just see their response, their reaction. He wants them to speak directly. Because what happens? Okay, the lady speaks indirectly for 3 months, and then there's one moment where she speaks directly. And then another 3 months or 6 months or 1 year later, she'll speak directly again. So, but when she speaks directly, that which has been spoken is eternal. So the man is supposed to not only remember those, but string them all together into, you know, a, what do you call it? You know. Yes, the garland that he wears around his neck, you know, and applies it according to the principles of humility, tolerance, you know, respect for his wife, and not expecting any respect in return. And by that, then he can always be absorbed in the proper relationship with his wife. Yes. Okay? So in other words, he's doing this to the gopis, but in a very quick way. This conversation that the girls would stretch out over God only knows how long, and only he does know, right? And this is one of those facts that actually only he knows. He does it within a short time, but it's the same principle. Mm-hmm. But then it gets the ladies to talk very straight. Mm-hmm. Okay. So as identified before, it has the thing, he's being clever. So in one sense, he is, yes.
Okay. This aspect also.
Hmm?
I heard the Sanatana Goswami or Jiva Goswami.
He'll say this.
He keeps the verses in small, only 10 verses. Their verses are very long and...
Means what they explain.
Yeah.
Yes, because this is all that's inside, because from these, each word brings up a different thought and feeling and all that, so they're bringing up, because what is this about? It's about rasa, it's not about, you know, how well organized it is, or how first class the Sanskrit, or, you know, all these different things. It's about the relationships being tasted. That's the whole thing. That's what it's all about. Because we're in 10th canto now, so we come up to that, slowly getting used to that idea. Right? So we're used to something gets done means that something accomplished. Here it's about rasas being tasted. That's actual accomplishment. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Because the material world is about, if I get things done, then I'll be happy. But it's actually, no, if you taste relationships, you'll be happy. Right? Do kids get anything done? No. But if the interaction goes on, they're very happy. So that's the whole point. So you just add into it that now you have to maintain those relationships. That's what the occupation and things are for. But the interaction, that's supposed to just stay. It's not supposed to change. There's another hidden meaning in this verse, revealing the true eagerness of Krishna to welcome the gopis. If, out of embarrassment, you do not want to say why you came, though you did not say, I know, I now speak the truth. Night filled with moonlight, Rajani, is not fearsome. Esha, Aghora Rupa, and is served by gentle animals. Aghora Sattva, Nishve Vida, like deer. Even the tigers are gentle in Vrindavan. One need not fear them in the forest, or you need not fear your husbands in this forest at all, since they won't come because of the tigers. Right? The husbands don't come because of the tigers. The wives can come because the tigers are nice in Vrindavan. Right? You know, so it's like... Therefore, do not go back to Braja. Pratiyatav rajam na. Stay with me. It is good for women to stay here. Iha shrayamstri bihi. Right? So... It depends how you're breaking the Sanskrit, how you're applying it. So as you say, depending upon the grammatical aspects of the joking words or the kavya that's being used, it can either be seen in one way or another, so it has the double meanings. But because how his presentation is, much of the time we see is in the indifferent form, in the formal form. So he's speaking such nice things in an indifferent way, so it doesn't make sense. Does that make sense? So because you expect it to match. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So there's incompatibility.
Yes, but it's being done on purpose, so it's part of the fun. It's, yeah. The gopis may then ask, will you keep any type of women with you? So Krishna says, all of you, with thin, graceful waists, effulgent with beauty and youth, should stay here. Buckets confirming that they're the ones that should stay. Yes. Okay. In this way, Krishna's words express both indifference and expectation by reading them differently. So that's the point, is that they. So from this, then you have to have a very deep understanding of what language is. So they're not scholars, but they know language, because the point is what you're meaning by it, all the different meanings and all that. You understand, we would have to go to great work with our dictionaries and this and that and grammar books to come up with stuff like this. But they can speak it nice because it's about rasa. Right? They're absorbed in that in rasa, with prema, with Krishna. And so these things are just natural ways of explanation. They're not something different, right? They're not an academic. That would be dry. Then the indifference, then what he's saying is dry, and then they'd all know, and they would have all left before he finished the paragraph. They would have just said, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. It is late. We can't pick flowers and just go back, right? So, right, because especially when they get there and find out it wasn't a flute, it was the synthesizer, you know, like that, then they would have gone, okay, we're out of here. Right, so he's saying all these things. They can catch both the meanings. So that's why when we come here, scholars here aren't a big deal for these individuals. That's why you see is the gopis, when they come here, they're all big scholars. Right? Because then they're just presenting Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get into mental speculation, that they're not interested in, or that they don't do. So in that way, then the intellectuals from here will consider them not scholars, because they're not mental speculators. Because to be a scholar, you need to be a mental speculator by the mundane concept. But here, as they know what language is, they know how to communicate, they know how to express rasa. So because of that, then it all goes on in such a very, very nice way, in such a poetic way. Right? Yes. And you see that this is very, very much part of the interaction. Right? They actually know language, they can talk like that. And so it's a very major part of the interaction. In this way, Krishna expresses both indifference and expectation by reading them differently. If the gopis take the first meeting, which is more obvious, they may argue, though it is night in the forest and we are young girls, but because we are from a big group, no one can criticize us. In fact, they're taking, you shouldn't be here. To this, Krishna speaks the next verse. Right? So, not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands are certainly searching for you. Do not cause anxiety for your family members. So now then, the various meanings. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. The previous and present verse may be explained as follows. Fearing the gopis will say, O Krishna, with fixed vows, being by your side, we do not have fear. He closes his eyes and speaks with gestures. Women should not remain near me, since I am a brahmachari from birth. There is no fault in me staying. I thought it was something Indonesian or something, you know, like that. Me staying with very young girls or elders. But you are now in your youth. O women with slender waists, to which the gopis reply, you are a great deceiver. You associate with us plentifully in Vraja. Krishna responds, but not here in the forest and not in the night. He makes a face to show the fault. Now I will be defamed by association with you. You must return, right? Because he's a brahmachari, right? He'll be defamed, right? To which the gopis argue, but you are well respected. No one will even know. Do not fear defamation. Then Krishna speaks the present verse. Your relatives not seeing you will search for you, and coming here they will see you. Do not create fear for my relatives by getting me defamed. Well, for my relatives, right? He's saying your relatives are going to create problem for you, and in doing so, I'll be defamed and you'll create problem for my relatives. Actually speaks in this way, creating fear in them, in order to take them to a place deeper in the forest from where he first played his flute. So he played the flute and then came out a bit. So this is at Vamsivat. So Vamsivat's quite far. It's the most far in. It's right next to the Jamuna. Right? So then he must have come farther up, where they would first come across into that area, that Govindastali area. Another meaning is, you should not be afraid of your relatives coming here. They will search and not see you in the darkness of the deep forest. They will not see you even after thoroughly searching. Therefore, do not fear your relatives. So it also means that. So that's this is the purpose in double meanings and things, is how to please Krishna. Right? So it's being used to enhance the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. That's actually what it's for. Or to create some fun, like with the cowherd boys, or whatever it is that is there, or to create, you know, increase the rasa when he's dealing with the demons, or, you know, whatever is going to be there with the elder gopis. All these things, he'll use these meanings just to increase the rasa. Right? So, but when we use it for our own purpose to increase our own rasa, then it doesn't have the same benefit. Right? So its original purpose is this. Right?
But Maharaj, even to increase our own rasa, both must be equally qualified. Otherwise, they're not understanding. I mean, there's
no yes, problem. No, both have to be qualified.
You know, like both
but that's why it says that there should be interaction between equals. Because
yeah.
If they don't know, then... Are you saying? You know what I'm saying? If, are you saying? Yeah, if one is the, you know, Harvard valedictorian and the other one is, you know, from the southern Appalachians, then it, and how you say, and, you know, drives the moonshine truck, it might not work out so well. Yeah? Yes. Sri Krishna continued, "Now you have seen this Vrindavan forest full of flowers and resplendent with the light of the full moon. You have seen the beauty of the trees, with their leaves trembling in the gentle breeze coming from the Jamuna. So now go back to the cowherd village. Don't delay, O chaste ladies. Serve your husbands and give milk to your crying babies and calves." Footnote 8. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the instructions in this verse addresses the three different types of gopis present. Go home and serve your husbands is obviously directed towards the married gopis. Go home and milk the cows and feed the calves is directed towards the unmarried girls. And go home and feed your children is directed towards the Munichari gopis. So, because it mentioned that some of them had children. Right? So then these would be the ones. So those ones that were able to then get away by being fully absorbed, then they were able to come, right? But it meant they had to come to the platform of freeing themselves of all material contamination, so then taking on the spiritual form, then they could come in that form.
Maharaj, this Munichari and Rishichari gopis are the same that you saw in the morning?
One would, generally you can use the two terms like that. So if I say sadhu and saintly person, yeah, so it's the same. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, "When the gopis appeared to be a little bit disturbed and angry from hearing the free advice of Krishna," right? Because that's the free advice, who wants free advice? Right? It's cheap, right? "They diverted their attention to looking at the beauty of the forest," right? So that's where then Krishna started talking about the forest, right? "At that time, the whole forest was illuminated by the bright shining of the moon, and the air was blowing very silently over the blooming flowers. And the green leaves of the trees were moving in the breeze. Krishna took the opportunity of their looking at the forest to advise them, 'I think you have come to see the beautiful Vrindavan forest on this night.'" Right? So he's speaking in such a way that they get annoyed and therefore start just not paying attention to him and looking at the forest. Then he takes advantage of that and then says, "Oh, you've come to look at the forest." Right? Yeah. He said, but you must now be satisfied. So return to your homes without delay." Right? So they've come to look, now you've seen, so you must be satisfied. So now you... "I understand that you are all very chaste women. So now that you have seen the beautiful atmosphere of the Vrindavan forest, please return home and engage in the faithful service of your respective husbands." Sri Krishna continued, "On the other hand, perhaps you have come here out of your great love for me, which has taken control of your hearts. This is, of course, quite commendable on your part, since all living entities possess natural affection for me." Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates. On seeing that the gopis had become angry, Krishna then further agitated them by giving a general example of living entities in order to make them return home. "On the other hand, instead of coming to see the beauty of the forest, perhaps you have come out of general affection for me, not because of attraction between a woman and a man." He shows great indifference. you come out of affection for me because all living entities show affection for me. Means as the Supreme Lord. So he's now he's saying the aspect about how they've come as attraction, but he puts it into the presentation of indifference. Right? Before, he was using a mood of indifference. The words could be taken literally as one, but poetically as the other. But then now he says something directly about the attraction to him, but he puts it in the general state of indifference. Right? So he's using all varieties of tricks. Yeah. You have come out of affection for me because all living entities show affection for me. By directly mentioning affection, he dilutes its force. He uses the word bhavatyaha to indicate great respect for them. Or he fears the gopis would say, we have given up our relatives, so why mention them at all? In response, Krishna speaks the verse, praising himself. Right, so, because he says, you know, the relatives aren't the problem, we've given them all up, so we've come here to see you. And says, oh yes, it's natural you would come to see me, because I'm the, you know, all living entities are connected with me, and all that, right? Yeah. Actually shows indifference in order to increase their love by a skillful play. Another meaning of the words is as follows, right? Because the direct meaning has less than the indirect, right? So the other things come up. So now that he's mentioned the affection directly, then it reduces the meaning there. Then another meaning of the words is as follows. Though you have come with some other goal, please take rest for a moment at my request. Out of great rati for me, you have come. If so, that is very suitable, since all beings have affection for me. But then to speak of you, who have such great love for me? He addresses them as bhavatyaha, out of respect for their prema. Now please enjoy with me as you wish. So that's the underlying meaning, but then the external meaning, the direct meaning, then is even more indifferent than the previous ones. Krishna continued. The highest religious duty for a woman is to sincerely serve her husband, behave well towards her husband's family, and take good care of her children. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. We have two kinds of birds there.
Are they seated, I guess, on different trees?
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying the one making so much noise are those of the seven sisters.
Yeah.
But then there's something else there making a lot of noise also. Expecting the objection from the gopis, but we have approached you as lovers. Krishna says, but still you should return to Braja. In answer, the gopis say, again and again you say this, but the object of affection should never reject those who are showing their affection. Krishna answers, that is true, you are full of affection, but I must speak in order to protect religious principles. Therefore, I advise you according to the scriptures. Please listen, serving the husband with complete steadiness is the supreme duty, paradharma. You should also serve the husband's parents. The other meaning is as follows. Right, because they're saying this, that they've come here, that no, but what about your duties? That's the supreme thing you should do. So he's using these aspects. But then the other is here. For you women of Raja, Srinam, serving the husband is not your duty. It is others' duties, para dharma. Right? Para means other, you know. For the scriptures say there are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion, vidharma. Religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma. Pretensions, religions, abhasha. Analogical religions, upadharma. And cheating religion, chaladharma. One is aware of real religious life, must abandon these five as irreligious. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.15.12. Right, so this is what's rejected in the second verse of the Bhagavatam. Right? In the second verse, it rejects all cheating religion. So that's these five. And I think it even mentions the words. Or the Acharyas mention them. I'm not sure. Acharyas mentioned. Okay. Your real duty is to serve me, since I am Vishnu and you are devotees of Vishnu. Anything else is not your duty. It is a rule to give up other duties and to serve me. So that's the underlying one. But he's presenting it as, no, you're supposed to go do this duty, that duty, so many things like that. Yeah, this is nice. It gives all the five branches. Religious principles for which one is unfit, that's paradharma. Sri Krishna continued, women who desire a good destination in the next life should never abandon a husband who has not fallen from his religious standards, even if he is obnoxious, unfortunate, old, unintelligent, sickly, or poor. That kind of covers it. Any one of them is cause, right? You know. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, the gopis protest, oh, expert at giving others instructions, right? Because he was giving all this free advice. Yeah. We have given up our husbands completely. What is the question of serving them? To which Krishna instructs, but you should not give up a husband even if he has bad conduct, such as being a thief, even if he has bad luck, being unsuccessful in his endeavors, durbhaga, even if he is old, incapable of doing actions, jara, afflicted with grave disease or cannot even maintain himself. The word api indicates that each of these items is not a cause of rejection of the husband. Quote, the men of Vraja are endowed with all good qualities, right? They don't have any of these problems. How can they be rejected? A woman who desires good in this and next life should not do this. If she does, she will suffer in this life and the next. But one should give up a sinful person, one who commits serious sins, which causes him to fall down. Apataki. Smriti says, patim topatitam bhajet. One should worship a husband who is not fallen. Therefore, you should not reject your husbands, since none of them have committed sin at all. Right? So if they're not sinful, just they're not, you know, just not able to function very well, then that's not a cause for rejection. But if they're actually engaged in sin, then at that point they can be rejected. Right? That's the... So his point is that all the residents of Vrindavan, all the cowherds of Vrindavan, they're not sinful and they don't have any of these material weaknesses. So then what's to give up, right? There's no reason, there's no cause. Yeah?
So we see Krishna's talking here, but then there's several meanings of what he says. So do the all gopis hear the same, or according to their particular bhav, they hear different things?
It appears that they're all hearing the same. They're acting as a group. Because it says that he says this, but the different parts may address different gopis. But they're all hearing what's being said. You know, just like if you make the announcement, what do you call it? Well, I don't even remember how to do it. There's a few of them. Right? Friends, countrymen, lend me your ear, or the one about gentlemen and gentlewomen and like that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You know, so is he addressing different groups? No, you hear the ladies, but you hear the gentleman part. The ladies hear the ladies part. And, right? And what do you call it? And the girls with the pixie cut on the Harley get annoyed and write off. Right, you know, so is that, yeah. So it's that he's speaking for all of them. And so they'll all hear. They'll all catch all these different things. Like that. Because they're acting in a group. That's the thing. Girls can act in a group and think in a group and do all this in a group. At the same time as then when they don't have that one common point, then that doesn't happen at all. Right? It's
so they easily come as a group and then dissolve easily as
yeah.
the same manner.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Though he knows that the gopis have firm attachment to him, he speaks in this matter to increase their longing. Because if there's an obstacle, then it makes it more desirable. Because we always have to remember, as we were just saying before, the aspect of separation or viparlamba is not a goal. You understand? That prema for Krishna and that serving Krishna. Vipralamba makes Sambhog better. Does that make sense? So the Sambhog is good, then the Vipralamba will make the next Sambhog better. Then Vipralamba will make again meeting better. Does that make sense? So then even in here is that they're together, but you can make even the desire, their interaction to increase even more. So the negative is used to increase the positive. Yes.
So we know that prema is prayojana. However, the rasa interaction actually happens in abhideya. It happens in the real world.
Yes, yes, yes. So therefore, it's only vipralamba is the most intense. But by it being more intense means the sambo comes up to that level. Does that make sense? Yeah. Let us say that the interaction, the sambhog is, let's say, at 50, you know, you're getting, let's say, just, you know, like 50%. The vipralamba from that, because of that, will be 60%. So that means the next sambhog will be at 60. Then it'll go to 70, then it'll bring up to 70. Like, that's what it's doing. So it's more intense. And at the same time is that intensity is thinking of Krishna, so they're with Krishna, but it still has the flavor of separation, even though by they're with Krishna. So vipralamba, they're not separated, but it has that flavor that they are. You understand? It means physically they're not together, but just thinking of Krishna, it's not different from Krishna. So the whole mood and everything, that's why there's a taste in vipralamba, because Krishna is there. Right? But he's there in reciprocating with that mood of separation. So they're tasting that mood with him. But it carries that flavor of vipralamba. Right? Does that make sense? Like, but for the Shanta Rasa, they meditate on Krishna, they're with Krishna. For them, that's with Krishna. They never feel separation because there's no sense of possession.
Sir? Yeah, I just wanted to mention it because when Pipalaya Rishi, he preaches to Gop Kumar, he preaches Shanta Rasa. He says,
yes,
in meditation, it's never broken, you're always there.
Yes.
And he presents it as if this is the highest.
Yes.
But then Gop, he keeps, you know, he keeps...
Keeps on trucking, yes. Okay. Another meaning is as follows, right? So yeah, okay. I am actually your husband. As a husband, I do not have any faults like bad conduct, and therefore should not be rejected. I am endowed with all good qualities and cannot be rejected. These others are filled with faults and are not their husbands. They should be rejected. So it all means all this, you know, by the subtleties that is there, also by how just the grammar works. So all these different things are there, all these different flavors. Sri Krishna continued, for a woman from a respectable family, petty adulterous affairs are always condemned. They bar her from heaven, ruin her reputation, and bring her difficulty and fear. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur unfolds these verses thusly. Sri Krishna says, you naturally had some ordinary affection for me, but stronger attraction, which is against religious principles, should always be given up. Illicit connections do not lead to Swargaloka. The gopis reply, we do not care for Swargaloka. Krishna responds, but it will also destroy your reputation, to which the gopis retort, we do not care for reputation. Then Krishna says, but such adulterous affairs are very insignificant, to which the gopis respond, you are lying, they are not insignificant. They are experienced as most wonderful. Krishna responds, but such affairs are full of difficulties, like opposing husbands. The gopis reply, how can that be? For bold women, hard to get, opposing elements are the supreme weapon of attraction in love. Though their suffering appears great, in their hearts they are joyful. This is the conclusion of Rasa Shastra, which suffering is rather a cause of joy for us infatuated women. Right? So, in other words, these kind of technical things, then they're spoken by the ladies. Otherwise, if a man said it, that no one would believe it. And the women wouldn't let on that it's true. But because it's been said, then that's the way it is. So yeah. Krishna applies. But this is very fearful for this and the next life, being forbidden by common scriptures. To which the gopis retort, how can that be? Rasa Shastra says, what is forbidden and uncommon for the docile woman becomes very attractive to the heart of the clever, bold woman, Nagari. Therefore, these affairs produce more rasa. Right? So you see is that what is forbidden and uncommon, that's the thing that's always seen as more. So here, then, it means being with Krishna, being out like this. So they're not actually, they're only using this medium of the household life because it creates that flavor of the Parakiya Ras, which is much greater. But as it pointed out, he's saying they're all connected to him. So in that aspect is there. Everyone's attraction for him, they're all connected with him. These others are actually illusory husbands because they're arranged by Yogamaya that they all have husbands. Right? It mentions that Yogamaya arranged for them all to get married. Right? So it's her arrangement. Like that. So then they have, but they're technically not the husbands. But if they didn't have those husbands, then the Parakiya Ras with Krishna wouldn't have the same flavor. Right? Because then it's supposed to be, takes on something different. Because it's here, this point is here. This what do you call it? What's forbidden and uncommon. Right? It's just like driving the Samkirtan van. Generally, who drives the Samkirtan van? Brahmacharis, right? But, you know, so the thing is, so why isn't it one of those things that women want? You know, they can't do it. We're not this body. Why can't we drive the Samkirtan van? Yeah, but it's not a prestigious position or things like that. So it's not, you know, like that. So it's not that it's unforbidden. If we made a rule, the GBC came up with a rule, no women can drive any of the Samkirtan vehicles, you'll see immediately, you know, within nanoseconds, there'll be a whole wave of response on, you know, why all this bodily consciousness, this and that. But because it's not forbidden, no one thinks about it, therefore it doesn't come up. Only what he said, don't do this, then that's where the fight is. So you could actually just change the whole thing. Yeah, you know, the women can't take out the garbage. They can't drive the buses. You know, they can't go to the what do you call it? One of those, where you buy it in bulk. The wholesale markets and buy all the, you know, the big pallets of this and that because, you know, then we'd have a whole riot. They'd all want to, you
know. But it will be only a riot. Nothing happens afterwards.
No, that's it. There. But that's the whole point is here. It's just about, you know, becomes very attractive to the heart of the clever and the bold. Because they're the ones that are bold and speak out. The other ones, so who would want to do that anyway? It's kind of like, what do you mean? Like, it's like, why do I want to take out the garbage? I got somebody to take out the garbage, you know? So this is then what it's there. It's just what's difficult to obtain, that makes it gives more taste. So that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Krishna responds, this activity is always condemned for women of reputable families. Even if you readily consent to bear all condemnation to fulfill your desires, how can I allow myself to be the cause of your condemnation, as I have such affection for you? Therefore, I say, please return to Vraja. Right? So now, I have such affection, you should go back. You don't want to ruin your reputation. You know, all these different... The other meaning is as follows. Everywhere in the world, illicit affairs are condemned. But here you have heard from the mouth of Garga that I am equal to Narayana. Thus, even though it is being unfaithful on your part, your association with me cannot be condemned. For as the Supreme Lord, I am above all auspicious and inauspicious actions. Right. So then on the other hand, as though he's being who he is, then there is nothing wrong here. But the point is we're not running the relationships based on the tattva. It gives the background. It's about the taste that'll be there, the rasa itself. Because they're on prema, then the tattva is not required. So the tattva is only used to enhance prema. Right? For us, it's just to give us a redirect our concept of where prema is found. Right? Because for us, then prema is found in our own, what we want to do for ourselves. But then we find out it's no. When you do things to please Krishna, that's actually where it's found. Yes?
So gopis, they mentioned rasa shastras. So traditionally, what would be considered the rasa shastra? Like in the Vedas or...
That you could say the Natya Shastra that defines aspects, the elements of rasa and everything there. So in definition, that would be defined there. Does that make sense? You know, because all the bhavas, everything are explained there, and what different things, what moods, how, who does what. What kind of, if it's this move, this is how you walk, like that. Because it's all for how to, singing, drama, and dance. So they're all for expressing some mood that's not necessarily yours. You know, it's for a presentation. Right? So then you have to know how you would act, how you would deal in that. So these things are then mentioned there. And then also by that there, then those who are playwrights then know how to write and things like that. Does that work there? Yeah, so that would be there. Otherwise, then the Kama Shastras will also be explaining these things. But just, you know, in parts it talks about rasa. So when you say rasa shastra, it means that body of knowledge of rasa. Right? It doesn't necessarily mean that one book is just on that particular aspect. It'll have that. So all that knowledge together, that's rasa shastra. And then there may be a book that's specifically rasa shastra. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it has both. It can be both a specific or a generic meaning.
Where do you see here that Krishna, I mean, seemingly he's pushing buttons, but he knows which ones to push to enhance the relationship. So we see sometimes, maybe in our activities in the material world, we may want to try and push someone to react in a, maybe not react in a particular way, perhaps is not the right word, but to force them to think, so we'll push certain buttons. So
it has to be as we decide it'll think, it has to actually end up in getting to think. Like, I remember, it's a common thing where, let's say, in the modern educational system, where a teacher, not having taught a particular aspect of the subject or anything to do with this, puts a question in the test that doesn't have to do with anything that they've dealt with. And so if you ask them why they did that, they say, oh, I was trying to make them think. But why didn't they try to make them think at other times? Because at other times they just talk straight. And then at this time, now they do all these funny things. Right? You understand? But the point is did it make them think? Generally, I've never heard of it working out right, unless the guy was a genius. Like that. Or just didn't really care. I've heard of nerds just going through and, well, they'll just go, well, I can't answer that now, it'll take too much time. I got 100 questions to answer. I'll deal with the other 99. If I have time left, I'll come back to it. So they do all right simply because of that attitude, while others, they sincerely try to answer it and deal with it, and then they get completely screwed by the teacher. And it won't be the teacher's fault, it'll be their fault. I was just trying to make them think. You know what I'm saying? So we have to make sure it actually works. So we see here Krishna, he's getting them to speak and to... So it's a whole interaction that's going on. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's done to enhance the relationship. So if by speaking things it does make people think, that's good. But then you also have to deal with that their response may not be what you expect, and you have to be able to deal with that different response. Because see, as Prabhupada mentioned before, that they were becoming angry. Right? Prabhupada mentioned here before. When the gopis appeared to be a little bit disturbed and angry from hearing the free advice of Krishna, they diverted their attention to looking at the beauty of the forest, right? So you have to be able to deal with that. So immediately Krishna then shifts to, their attention went on the forest just to ignore him, then he talks about the forest. You know, because they've ignored him, went to the forest, then he talks about the forest, so then they have to move their attention again. So it's if one can deal with that, in other words, if you're going to spark that, then you have to be able to deal with what form it takes. If it doesn't take the form you expect, one can't get disturbed. That's it. Sri Krishna concluded, transcendental love for me arises by the devotional process of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. Please go back to your homes. Footnote 9. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 27 to Bhagavat Arkramichi Mala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Right, so in other words, it doesn't make sense when it gets down to the point about, what do you call it? The alternative meaning is, then look at that one, and then look at this categorization. Yeah? Okay. In this way, Krishna explained the duty of a woman. He also stressed the point of serving the husband. Quote, even if he's not of very good character, or even if he is not very rich or fortunate, or even if he is old or invalid on account of continued diseases, whatever her husband's condition, a woman should not divorce her husband. She actually desires to be elevated to the higher planetary systems after leaving this body. Besides that, it is considered abominable in society if a woman is unfaithful and goes searching for another man. Such habits will deter a woman from being elevated to the heavenly planets, and the results of such habits are very degrading. A married woman should not search for a paramour, for this is not sanctioned by the Vedic principles of life. If you think that you are very much attached to me and you want my association, I advise you not to personally try to enjoy me. It is better for you to go home, simply talk about me and think of me. By this process of constantly remembering me and chanting my names, you will surely be elevated to the spiritual platform. There's no need to stand near me. Please go back home. Right, so this is the same instruction he gave to the wives of the Brahmins. The instruction given herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the gopis was not at all sarcastic. Such instructions should be taken very seriously by all honest women. So, in other words, the instruction is good for us. Right? Because in doing all the things he said shastrically are correct, all the things that the gopis say is correct. But the point is that what they're doing is they're dealing and increasing their relationship. But it's not that the points being used aren't correct. Does that make sense? It's just like in you're trying to establish a thesis and you give so many examples. Right? So these examples are good, right? But they may be different from what you're talking about. Does that make sense? But it's not that the example itself doesn't have a validity. Does that make sense? But here, the context is we're seeing it in relationship to how Krishna and the gopis are interacting, how they're developing, you know, cultivating each other's affection. Right? Then you have the aspect that for us is the form that we use, because we're not going off and dancing with Krishna in the forest at night, right? But, so that's the standard thing. If you are, then don't bring it up. Okay? That's between you and Krishna. So this is then the method, how one is Krishna conscious within the home environment. That's how it's done. Right, that's the method that's there. Yes.
We see devotees often take, in their presentation of Krishna consciousness, they take parts and pieces from all four levels of consciousness. They take one example from Pranamaya, then they talk about Dharma, then they say, okay, Anandamaya, Vyasat, that's the goal, and then, Brahma Buddha Prasanatana, and then it's like, it's very confusing.
We're not the body, Prabhu.
Yeah, of course.
Can't leave that one out. That's a Mahavakya.
And then it's very confusing. So here we see that apparently Krishna preaches, Dharma for those who are on the higher level of consciousness. And so they can appreciate it. They do appreciate it on a certain level, but
it's not in connection with the relationship with Krishna.
Exactly.
Means it's exactly correct according to the relationship with their husbands.
Yeah.
But the point is their relationships with Krishna. And so then when it comes down to these two, they act on the highest principle of sarva-dharmam paritya. But the point is Prabhupada's making the point is that it is valid for us, these points. But the point of that, it always has to be absorbed in Krishna and all that, then that's why one is doing. So these religious principles, for a materialist, this is the way it stands. Otherwise, they'll get no material benefit. But for those who are devotees, then they're following this only because it pleases Krishna, and they're trying to remember Krishna while this is going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that. Then when we're in the pastimes, like that, then if you're in the position like these gopis, then when he plays the flute, you're supposed to go. Like that. In case there was a doubt.
Okay.
You know, do I take the milk off the stove or do I just go? You know? Like that, you know, so. Yes. Don't worry, when you have these joint households, there's plenty of people. Someone else will take it off, so don't worry about it.
Modern houses, nobody boils the milk anyway.
Huh?
Modern houses, nobody boils the milk.
Boils the milk anyway, yeah. So, okay. So then these. So it's just whether they put the almond milk back into the fridge or leave it on the counter, right? Yes. Okay. Whatever her husband's condition, a woman should not divorce her husband if she actually desires to be elevated to the higher planetary systems after leaving this body. Besides that, it is considered abominable in society if a woman is unfaithful and goes searching for another man. Such habits will deter a woman from being elevated to the heavenly planets, and the results of such habits are very degrading. A married woman should not search for a paramour, for this is not sanctioned by the Vedic principles of life. If you think that you are very much attached to me and you want my association, I advise you not to personally try to enjoy me. It is better for you to go home, simply talk about me, and think of me. And by this process of constant remembering me and chanting my names, you will surely be elevated to the spiritual platform. There's no need to stand near me. Please go back home. So this is Krishna's then instruction, how he's telling the gopis how they should behave. The instruction given herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the gopis was not at all sarcastic. Such instructions should be taken very seriously by all honest women. The chastity of women is specifically stressed herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this principle should be followed by all serious women who want to be elevated to a higher status of life. Krishna is the center of all affection, right? Because he's talking here to them and like that, so he's going to be talking about being elevated to the heavenly planets. But it's also standard, anything else that you want above. The elevation principle is there, like that. So devotees would follow it, jnanis would follow it, you know, whatever their destination. Krishna is the center of all affection for all living creatures. When this affection is developed for Krishna, one surpasses and transcends all Vedic injunctions. This is possible for the gopis because they saw Krishna face to face. This is not possible for any women in the conditioned state. So for us here in the material world, we won't do what the gopis do. Right? We'll follow the Dharma. Right? Because they had that full surrender to Krishna, and then if they didn't externally follow the Dharma, they were following the Supreme Dharma, right? But if we're in the conditioned state, then we have to follow the Dharma that deals with the conditioning, because they weren't conditioned, so they don't have to follow the conditioned aspect. They follow it on its transcendental aspect, right? But for the pastimes, then there is the external form of them being married and following all those different things. Yes.
Did you say that this is the highest manifestation of Sarva?
Yes. Yeah. That's the, why the gopis are seen as the, you know, in the best position, yes.
Also would be, for a conditioned soul, would be very difficult to enjoy with Krishna after such an introduction, because the consciousness would be covered by guilt, actually.
Meaning that because he said not to do this.
Yes.
Yes, yes. But for what we see with the gopis, he's saying all this, but it actually has covered meanings. With us, this is direct. In other words, we take the direct ones, and the gopis, they you know, understand that, you know, then why is he using two? Why doesn't he be direct? Like that. Right, so that's, so in other words, the finer brain cells, that's what needs to be used in these, because we were seeing these subtle points that are going on. That needs finer intelligence. Right? So that comes, you live in very nice, pleasant, aesthetic environments, then you chant Hare Krishna, and you drink milk. Right? And that means milk from cows, not from,
soya.
You know, how you say? nuts and beans or coconuts. You can use that also, you know. In other words, a paneer sabji with a nice, you know, coconut milk or, you know, or how you say, cashew nut paste sauce. Yeah, good. Like that. Not a problem. So that develops the finer brain tissues. It just helps mechanically being able to appreciate these things. Right? That's all. So, yes, yeah, so we have to try to use these finer understandings, because otherwise then we'll miss out on what's actually being... These guys are still around. I guess any day it warms up and they get enthusiastic. It's kind of like you got an ant. It can't fly, right? And so if another bug that was that size would have little dinky wings, right? You know, that match, so it could fly around all day for the next 2 weeks. But these guys, it's one day, the end of their life, they can fly, so they get wings, they get monster wings. So, you know you have wings, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, upside down, you can't fly very well, these guys are... Yeah, you see how big the wings are compared to...
Maybe probably drinking a Red Bull.
Yeah. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, fearing the gopis would not give up refuting his statements, he showed indifference to hide his attraction. Association cannot be produced as much by proximity as by hearing, seeing him, and meditation. Right, so that's the main association with Krishna. Is by hearing, chanting, remembering, seeing, taking darshan, rendering service. These are the main aspects that we have. Right? And then there's some times when you're close. Even the pujaris, how much of the time are they directly close to the deities? Most of the time they're not. By separation, there is quick increase of longing. By meeting, there's a weakening of that longing. Though their love had reached the highest state, in jest, he labeled it imperfect. In Purvarag, first, before seeing the lover, there is hearing about him. Then one sees him. Then, by not meeting him, there is eternal manifestation of his form, spurti. Then there is speaking about him. That is the order. Right? So, first, before seeing, one's hearing. Then one sees. Then, by not, after seeing, not seeing, then there's, then one in the heart thinks of the form, and then one speaks about. So then you can see as those devotees are always speaking about Krishna, then it's because this form is, all this is goes on very nicely. Right? So then remembering Krishna, then you speak about it.
So continuous spurti is going on.
Yes, it's going on. That's why you see that they can always be talking about Krishna and this and that. This is like... When everybody starts to go back home and all that, then what do the Brajbasis do? They're always chanting Krishna's glories. Mm-hmm. When we're going back home, there's a good chance we're not. We went to the temple, we're there for darshan, we chant our japa, you know, we do all the things, take charinamrita, go around the deities, hear the Bhagavatam. And so at that time, then we're being Krishna conscious, and they make a few points about it, and you know, how nice this or that, or good point, or you know, whatever it is that we do. But then when we leave the temple, we're going home, then that's the time when we kind of tend to forget about that. And so you can see it's because they're always remembering, they're always chanting his glories. Right? So that's just the natural. Yes?
So from all the gopis who actually went there, for them it was the direct meaning. There was no actually gopis who were actually not yet ready, and then they had to go back home and like...
No. Whoever was not ready didn't go. That's what was discussed before. Those who were not ready, they couldn't go. But anybody who was, they went.
Because for sometimes it happens, devotees, like they get inspired, like they hear that flow, whatever. They get so inspired, they join and they take up some. But then at one point they understand, I was not actually ready for so much surrender, and then they like fall back on something.
Yeah, it's just a matter of just if you're not careful, the whole process then also increases. It means while the creeper of devotion is growing, the weeds also grow. So if you're not careful, the weeds grow, and then it appears that, oh, I'm not ready, but you were ready before. It's just that the weed's looking good, you know. So, with that, so it's, yeah. Like you never hear of many people surrendering, you know, when they're in Acapulco or places like that, you know. So it's just a problem. If you let the weed grow, it doesn't surrender, isn't inspired. Yeah. Okay.
Is the need of gopis to take to the forest to give the lesson of this Krishna consciousness?
Why should they go to the forest to teach this? Why, you want them to go to the mall, or?
Krishna consciousness is taught anywhere, at any place, at any time.
Yeah, so that therefore that's why then this is being heard down next to the Jamuna with Sukadev Goswami and Pariket Maharaj and all the sages. So that's where it's being learned. They're performing. They're not learning Krishna consciousness. They're performing. They're within Krishna consciousness. So it's different. We're sitting here learning. So we're not going out into the forest in the dead of night and then having class. No, we're not doing that. Right? Yeah. So like that. They're doing that because they're serving Krishna. Well, we sit here with nice lights and everything, and then, you know.
So they are the decision maker.
Huh?
Krishna is the decision maker.
That's there, but in here it's about he is interacting with the devotees. That's the main thing. Okay. Out of great curiosity, he speaks in this way in order to see the intensity of the prema of the gopis who had constant, soft love with obedience to him. Right? So it's just a matter to see how they'll respond, how they'll react, how they'll deal. That's then what's going on here. He's tasting all that aspect, because that's what he said before he was going to do. Right? So that's then what's happening here. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, taking a scriptural stance, Krishna speaks logically, without affection, with intolerable indifference. One can attain perfection by all and any of the processes mentioned in this verse. That is explained in Bhagavatamrita, Uttarakhanda. By the kindling of 10 verses, 18 through 27. So that one was 27. The gopis' prema, soft by nature, expanded eagerly into a towering fire, developing all expectations. The reversed order of the verses should be examined. Verse 27 about hearing, causing great pain, is the lower direction below, like the flaming fire. The tip of the flame, the direction above, is verse 26, causing great fever to the head because of criticizing their aspirations. The other eight previous verses, starting with verse 25 and ending with verse 18, are in the eight directions, starting with the east. So then they all, yeah. So it's like, you can appreciate all these fine things, but then the problem is the sciences that go along with it, then people find them a bit too technical, because how they'll be used, but the point is unless it has that element of rasa, it doesn't have it doesn't bring out anything. So we see is there, they know all the shastras, they know all these things, and because of that they're able to apply it. But it's being applied within that aspect of prema. So it has its place. It's not important on its own. We study something, we can't let go of anything. Right? That's always a very difficult thing. You want to learn something. Let's say, okay, you want to learn cooking, right? So then you look at so many different recipes. But then a lot of the recipes, parts are not useful, but you don't want to let go. So you try to figure things out or use it a certain way or different things like that. But it doesn't necessarily work. You just have to take what's useful and leave the rest. Like the swan takes the milk, leaves the water. But we get attached to the water. You know? And then sometimes forget the milk. So that's the difficulty. You know. So that's the whole point. So here it's that knowing how all these different moods are in the eight directions. You know, how each one represents. So then that means, okay, the sun means this, you know, the moon means this, the fire means this, the water means this. You know, all these different things, what they mean, how they do, and then how they relate to these. Then You can just go on and on. So the acharyas have only given us the main understandings, you know, which are the you know, the important. But the point is these things can go on and on unlimitedly because of the fineness that's there. Right? So it's a different realm. And so they're only attached to any knowledge, any religious principle, simply because of its pleasing to Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the only reason. There's not another thing for doing it. Well, we'll get into it and be, you know, we're scholars. We don't want to let go of that scholarliness and things like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's a rare thing. Like someone like Devamrita Maharaj, he'll put into big work to write a book, put a lot of effort into it, and when he finishes the book, he just gives it to the BBT. You know, they print it. It's their book. It's not his book anymore. Right, so but you'd find many other authors don't work like that. so it's to be able to work on something and then not be attached to it, you know, or like Parikshit Maharaj, he's the emperor, and then when it's time to leave, he just walks out, doesn't take anything with him. Right? Not even his laptop. Nothing. He just walks out. You know? But since computers have been around, I've always seen when someone is being, some adjustments being made in their position and that, there's always part of the discussion is the computer. Every time. You know, but I've been using this computer for so, you know, like that. Yeah.
There's no electricity in the force.
Okay. Good point. Yeah. We're sending you to the forest. That means I can't take my computer, right?
And a phone. No phone.
Yeah, but what about if you have a solar panel?
It can be discussed.
Okay. Like that. So that's one way of looking at it. So he's looking at it in the reverse order, then it does this thing. So that means that whatever Krishna speaks, then frontwards or backwards, it all has great meaning. Like that. Generally, if you say what we say backwards, it doesn't really have any meaning.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good either. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura.